Today, with so much uncertainty in our lives, it's understandable to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal. But it's easy to check your stress and get help for your mental health with free resources from CalHope. Make a game plan by calling our warm line at 833-317-4673 or try our secure and confidential live chat today at calhope.org. CalHope, proud partner of the San Jose Sharks.
He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback! The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Score! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense as a kid. Dick shoots. Shoot! Score! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
The Sharks pick it up. Toffoli comes out. Slides to the middle. Here comes Wennberg, veering to his right. Across the line. 10:34 seconds left as Wennberg gets the zone entry. Tries to backhand to the slot, but it's blocked. Wennberg gets it back in the corner. Away from Siegenthaler. Back to the point. CeCe. Blast. Score! Alex Wennberg wins the puck in the corner, and Cody CeCe lets the blast go. It gets through Markstrom with 24.2 seconds left in the game, and the fans explode at SAP Center as the Sharks take the 3-2 lead.
Yeah, again, I think we go on the attack and we go to play to win the hockey game, where, you know, I thought early in the year we would wait for bad stuff to happen. We would wait for and then react. So now we're on the attack to win hockey games. You see that the night before and early the night, and then we saw it again tonight. We didn't have any, you know, we have a little stretch there after they scored the goal, we get put on our heels a little bit. But early in the year, that was a, 10, 12, 14 minute, we're on our heels. Now it's only, 5 minutes or three and a half. So you've seen some learning curve there.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing as we wake up winners on a Sunday? The San Jose Sharks with two consecutive wins. Once again, Yaroslav Askarov leading the way with a remarkable performance. Macklin Celebrini getting a goal. Nikolai Kovalenko opening the scoring for San Jose. Cody CeCe netting a game winner in San Jose for a second consecutive game that also results in a second consecutive win, playing a full 60 minutes, not a perfect 60 minutes, but a full 60 minutes. And for a brief shining moment in time, the San Jose Sharks can feel good about where things are as they look to get level on this six-game homestand with one more contest left, taking on Vegas on Tuesday before they go back out onto the road, albeit briefly, take on Utah on Friday before they're back home on Saturday against the Wild. Cody CeCe may have scored the game-winning goal in this game, but I am looking at the fact that rookies led the way for San Jose, five of them being big factors in this win. The most important, Yaroslav Askarov, as he continues to show that he is a foundational piece of the future of San Jose. I don't deny that it was painful trading away Mackenzie Blackwood, and you look at the way that he's played with Colorado since, showing you just how good of a netminder he was, but you have to take into account that that does not perfectly line up with where San Jose was at this moment in time. They're not ready to be investing in a netminder. You have to go along the timeline, even if you don't like giving up talent. But Yaroslav Askarov has stepped in and shown that he can be an elite netminder in this league, and he does it with such a calm nature to where he's enjoying the chaos. I think everyone is now figuring out that he is capable of being a generational netminder for San Jose. You combine that with a goal from Macklin Celebrini, assisted by Will Smith and Colin Graf. That's the college line. All those guys were in college a year ago. All three of those guys were Hobey Baker finalists. All three of those guys, in my opinion, have the ability to be a big part of the future of San Jose. I know we're just getting to know Colin Graf. We saw him at the end of last year briefly, and he's played two games this year with the Sharks, but there's a lot to like about his game. He's been so good with the Barracuda this year. He has earned the ability to move up and play with the Sharks, but Colin Graf has the ability to be a difference maker for San Jose. As I continue to say, I liken his game a lot to a Logan Couture, just with his two-way ability and his hard-working nature, strong on the puck. Really like what I've seen from him so far. And then you go to Kovalenko. The new acquisition from Colorado that was a part of the Mackenzie Blackwood trade, he continues to produce for San Jose. And again, we are talking about five rookies being a big part of this win. Yaroslav Askarov, Colin Graf, Will Smith, Macklin Celebrini, and Nikolai Kovalenko. So for the Sharks right now, the youth movement is relatively leading the way, but you also have big-time veteran performers like Cody Ceci. Yeah, he was in the Stanley Cup Final a year ago. He comes through with a big goal at the big moment, and so many times this year, we've seen San Jose not be able to come up with that goal in that moment, and there were a number of times in the month of December as a harsh reality check to what we saw in the month of November, is San Jose just falling short at these critical moments. Well, this is where one really went their way, because Cody Ceci put that puck on frame. Markstrom got a lot of it with his glove, but it still found its way through and gave the Sharks a much-needed victory on a day where Markstrom was not letting much of anything true. He was phenomenal, by the way. It's one of those games where you've seen it on the other side, like when Askarov lost to Edmonton, to where, yeah, sometimes a goal is just going to get through. Sometimes you're just not going to be able to do everything. Markstrom had a tremendous performance, and he should not feel negative about that game when all is said and done. To the same extent, I believe that Yaroslav Askarov was just that much better when all was said and done, because he just made a huge number of critical saves all throughout this game.
Right now, here comes Jesper Bratt to center. Across the Sharks' line. Throws it on the right wing. Jack Hughes throws it in front. Palat the drive. Great save by Askarov. Getting off to his right. And the Sharks scramble out of the zone and go on the rush. Liljegren to Toffoli on the right. Crossing the line. Toe drag. Shot. Save. Barely stopped.
And by the way, wasn't this a remarkably entertaining game? Back and forth. Goalies dueling. Rookies scoring. Veterans getting game winners. It opened up at times. It was just a very, very exciting affair. And for a Saturday afternoon, post-holiday, you want a game like that that has everybody talking, where you leave the tank feeling good. And, you know, to reward the fans with a win, I also think was big for San Jose, because the team was frustrated with the way that they were playing in the first three games of this homestand, where they were just coming up short. You look at the games against both Calgary and Philadelphia, where they just didn't have their A game. The offense wasn't there. They were not playing to their level. In these last two games against Tampa and New Jersey, two of the best teams in the East, might I add, there was no guarantee that San Jose was suddenly going to be able to rectify things to at least make it a respectable homestand. San Jose now has the chance to make it a 500 homestand, which I think will go a long way for them as they try to really put things in the right direction after losing the first three of this homestand. Alan Hoshida and I did have a nice conversation after yesterday's game, but I wanted to give you some of the post-game commentary that we heard after yesterday's win, such as Cody Ceci's thoughts on what he saw on his game-winning goal.
I just saw Wenny coming up the wall, and then he saw me opening up, pass it to me, and just tried to use the guy that was coming out as a screen, and ended up going in short side.
And CeCe also spoke to the team developing their killer instinct and the ability to win games in the critical moments.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely less on our heels than we have been. I think we're learning these lessons along the way, and it was nice to see our group push back instead of just be on our heels for the whole period. So I think that's good to see when you learn a lesson and then apply it that soon. It's good for our group.
Head coach Ryan Warsowski weighed in on his team learning throughout the season, developing that resiliency and the way they've bounced back throughout the last two games.
Yeah, I think a little bit for sure, the resiliency and our leadership group kind of taking control. And I'd say we're starting to figure out, you know, we started getting our identity going there early in the year and not getting the result. And now we're starting to get rewarded for it, these last two especially. And our guys are starting to see the recipe and how you need to play and compete. Your puck play and how hard things get, and how you gotta just gotta keep competing throughout games, and you gotta have some mental toughness. And I think our guys are starting to figure that out.
And I think you see that most specifically in the way the team is responding in the critical moments later in games. I think that there were some hard lessons that had to be learned, not necessarily in the flat performances against teams like a Calgary or Philadelphia, but maybe more in the way that they lost a game like Edmonton, where they had the lead and they give up a goal with 17.2 seconds remaining to go to overtime, then they end up losing. When you have points that just slip through your fingers and you feel like you did everything right, I think those are the lessons that you have to take away. Yes, you don't like giving up two shorthanded goals in less than 30 seconds like they did with Vegas. Yes, you don't like the flat performances that you had against a Philadelphia or a Calgary, but I think the more painful losses, the ones where you're right there, are probably more where you learn those lessons versus what happens in a game where you just don't have it from the start. Here's Warsawski on his netminder, Yaroslav Askarov.
Yeah, he was outstanding again tonight. You know, he makes a big save there in the third with, you know, 3 minutes left or whatever it is. And that's what happens. You know, it's usually one player. That's what it came down to in the third period. Yeah, play there, play here, and that's the difference of winning and losing.
And that speaks to the greater lesson that the Sharks have learned throughout this tough season, in which they are required to learn so much so quickly. But the best part is this year, as opposed to last year, they are able to process those lessons and turn them into better performances in the future. Now, I'm not saying that Yaroslav Askarov should be blamed for what happened in Edmonton, but I am saying he should take the learning experience away from that and maybe think about what happened in that situation versus where he could improve in the future. And beyond that, every single member of the San Jose Sharks should look at what happened in that game versus Edmonton and say, okay, where did we make the critical mistake and what can we do to improve upon it to make sure it doesn't happen in the future? In my opinion, those hard lessons helped them win yesterday's game. Alan Oshida of NBC Sports and I spoke after yesterday's game. Here is that conversation. All right, Ted Ramey, Alan Oshida here on Morning Tide after the San Jose Sharks late 3-2 win over New Jersey. And Alan, the Sharks, they're undefeated in 2025. They may never lose again.
Never. They're not going to. 2025, they're going to go absolutely undefeated, not only this season, but into next year as well. So our next hockey season. Yeah. So, you know, perfect.
Yeah, this is where they run the table and things change. But I guess there's a lot of storylines out of this one. Obviously, they're winning games, which helps. They are playing better hockey. Yaroslav Askarov is playing unbelievable netminding for a guy as young as he is and is relatively inexperienced. You've also got Macklin Celebrini scoring. You've got the NCAA line with Graf to Smith to Celebrini combining. Kovalenko, a new player, he keeps producing for San Jose. Where do you want to start out of this one?
I want to start with the NCAA line because I think it's really awesome that they're doing this. And obviously, you're going to give up some defensive liabilities or maybe sort of mature game. But having them all together, that is Colin Graf, Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith. They're all playing against each other last year and now combining on their first goal as a line. And if that NCAA line gets going, that'll be a fun thing. I don't know if they'll stay together the whole time, but, you know, if Macklin's on a team on that line, it's going to do pretty well. And that was a rifle.
Yes, it was. That was an incredible shot. And I just like the idea of these guys. What's the point total you had for those three last year?
184 in like 113 games or something like that.
Yeah, that's a lot where I come from. But Graf, to me, I've always liked his game since we saw him last year and then getting to call him up close and personal with the Barracuda.
Yep.
As I keep on saying, I see a lot of Logan Couture in his game because he's got a lot of two-way game. Will Smith, obviously, the worst thing about Will Smith at this point is that he's not Macklin Celebrini. He's constantly judged against Macklin Celebrini. Otherwise, I think he's turning into a phenomenal player. And then Macklin, who is now leading the goal scoring chase, at least does Philadelphia play tonight? I haven't looked at the schedule. So
let me talk to someone. I'll get back to you.
He's in the lead right now. So obviously, Macklin Celebrini is, in that Calder conversation on a day-to-day basis and likely at the lead. I mean, those three guys, you could be looking at a future of San Jose in those three. I mean, that's the thing is we keep on talking about the present while talking about the future, but it's hard not to.
It could be the future top line. You never know. That is a lot of top-heavy talent. You don't know what's coming after it, but they might want to break that up at some point. I know Will Smith probably going to get a run here at center at some point. But what you do like about that line from when you're building it up is Graf and Celebrini are both puck possession guys, and then you have the guy who can snipe in Will Smith, and though Will Smith did have a great pass here. Colin Graf has looked pretty good here in the first two games and all season with the Barracuda. I think he's really taking his game to a next level, learned from those seven that he played last year at the end of last year. And, you know, it was a mixed bag, but it's a lot to ask for an NCAA kid to walk right into the NHL and be like, hey, go produce, buddy.
Yeah, no, it's not easy for anyone. But yeah, all three of those guys, they look like they have big futures, obviously, in the NHL. And Graf, we've seen the least of. And obviously, that's just because some, you know, changes, injuries, all things that have been happening during the NHL season. So we get to get a look at him right now. I don't know if it's to stay. I wouldn't be, you know, totally against it. But when I go beyond that NCAA line, I'm going to take this to Yaroslav Askarov because he just continues to be remarkable. And I'm not trying to oversell him because I've always, you know, I don't want to put too much pressure on a young guy. And I was like a little bit hesitant with Macklin Celebrini at first, was like, man, he's so good. And now it's like, well, okay, this is kind of just who he is.
Yeah.
And now we are through a handful of starts with Yaroslav Askarov when combined with what he's done to the AHL. And it's like, this feels like who he is.
Yeah, it does. And he's 22, but he also kind of carries himself or has that calm, that confidence of a guy who's a veteran, and he's given up two or fewer in five of his seven starts here for the San Jose Sharks. And he's doing it at times where the Sharks need him to, kind of like we talked about with Mackenzie Blackwood, is towards when Mackenzie Black was rounding into shape here, he was making big saves when the game was on the line. And you saw it specifically in this game. Head coach Warsawski said after the game that the save that Askarov made with 3 minutes left probably changed the game,
because
it was a two-on-one chance. Devils could have took that lead, but instead San Jose stays in it, and then they get the late goal. So I think that's the biggest thing when I watch a goalie is, yeah, they can make the saves. It's kind of like a shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
You make the plays, you're supposed to make the plays. Then if you make the spectacular one, that changes games. And I think that's kind of what Askarov is doing. And I said it to you, they can't send him down. I'll say it. I don't know if you can say it, but I'll say it. They can't send him down because he gives the Sharks at this moment, with Gorgiev still trying to find his game, Vitek still on the mend, super unlucky, but he's their best chance to win games night in and night out.
Yeah, and I know that Mike Greer obviously would like to get another high-level draft pick, but it would be tough to the team. It would be tough for the fans if he didn't stay up for the remainder of the year. And I'm not – listen, John McCarthy has been doing great things with the Barracuda and still is, obviously, and those guys, you know, want a chance to win as well. But when a guy performs like he's not just an NHL player but – a potential all-star NHL player. I mean, his performances speak for themselves.
He's out-dueled Vasilevskiy and Jacob Markstrom.
Yeah.
Two of the best, top five, maybe the 1-2. Hellebuck's obviously in there as well, but he's out-dueled them. And then against Connor McDavid, he had a great game, and it wasn't for a late goal with like 16 seconds.
Yeah, 17.3, I believe. Not that I'm still thinking about that one, like, angry at night.
He's playing out of his mind, and it's not – and I think the guys, I asked you pregame, when do they start believing in this and feeling comfortable in front of him? I think they're ready.
No, I think they are there. I mean, I think that those guys all know how good he is. They know that he's capable of being even better. I mean, that's the thing, is he's only, you know, a small portion to his NHL career. He's still learning.
We need to bring him in and say, hey, will we play the puck? Let's not go crazy here. Let's just keep it simple, man. Keep it simple.
He does get a little bit interesting out there when he just starts kind of floating out, and you're like, and he's so casual to get back
you're
in.
Like,
there's no hustle. There's no terror, which kind of makes it even more kind of confounding, because, like, does he just know that he has enough time to get back and get ready?
He's like, they're deking dudes. Like, maybe one day we'll be looking back here in 5-6 years and be like, oh, that was, and he's one of the best puck handling goalies in the league. And that would be great, because it is an asset.
Oh, for sure.
You get the puck out, you can stop stuff. So it is an asset for sure. It's just the way that he's gone about it here is a little troublesome.
How about the fact that we are now, you know, 7 minutes into this interview and we haven't been talking about the guy who scored the game-winning goal, Cody Ceci?
Yeah.
Because that's how big these other storylines are, which, again, why now I'm getting to Cody Ceci is he was having a very, like, quiet game. He wasn't having a bad game by any means, but I was just feeling like, man, we're not hearing his name at all. Yeah. I guess he was just quietly going about his work, so good for him. But, you know, he comes up with that blast at the right moment, and it even takes a piece of Markstrom's glove. I mean, just that's the whole idea of just, like, put something, see what happens.
I'm telling you, when the Sharks have made it an effort to put pucks on net, when they're coming from the point, we've seen good things happen. Sometimes I think with this team is they start looking for the perfect shot, and you're just not going to find the perfect shot in the NHL a whole lot. And so when your defense can contribute, like we've seen these last two games, they've won them both. The first game of the new year, Vlasic had a point. Three defensemen had points this one. You had Cody Ceci get the game winner. you need your defense to at least initiate some offense.
Yeah, no, you do. And that's for Cody Ceci to come up with that goal at that moment. It was something the Sharks had been lacking lately. Because remember November when they had all the great comebacks and great points, December was the opposite, where they would just fall short time and time again. So that was frustrating. Before I go on some other topics, what are the Sharks going to do with their power play right now, man? Because it is not – the word that I have used is disjointed, because there is potency within it. They will create a good look, but – they're just not creating nearly enough. It feels like they're giving up too many near shorthanded goals. Obviously, we go back to that game against Vegas. They gave up two shorties in, what, 23 seconds?
Yeah. They were 0 for 4 tonight.
Yeah.
One of them looked good. The third one.
Yeah.
One power play looked good. I even said to you at one point, they have two power play shots after three, and you thought it was a typo.
Yeah, I was like, I don't believe that.
I don't believe it. I'm pretty sure that was accurate, and it all came on that third one. It's gotten to the point that they're playing so much better five on five that you're like, if they take a penalty, that's not good for this team right now. And that's not, you should be wanting power plays. And right now they're so disjointed, as you say, they slow it down too much looking for the perfect shot. Again, maybe if they take some of that desperation, the Cody Ceci, fire it from the point and then look for some rebounds. Not, it doesn't have to be pretty.
No.
I mean, there is video evidence of what it looks like and all that, but no one's going to ask you what that goal looked like if you win games.
No. If the puck crosses the goal line, everybody's happy. It doesn't matter how it gets. I mean, Kovalenko's goal, that came in. It was, you know, it was a great pass from Eklund. He got it, but he also, you know, handled it into his skate and then somehow got it back. And then, you know, you look at any number of plays in the NHL, it doesn't. The end result is why it's pretty. It's because it's a goal.
Yes.
If you do something ugly along the way, nobody cares.
It keeps pointing to the hole that the Sharks do have in this development, is that they don't, at the NHL level, I think Luca Cagnoni can be this, but they're still looking for a power play quarterback. Celebrini will be that. Obviously, everything's going to run through him here. It does already, but they don't have the power play quarterback. And then the one that you do have right now, Jake Woolman's very good. I think he's more of a give it to him and let him fire away type of guy.
He's nearly going 100 miles per hour.
Yeah,
so
he's not in the lineup. And so then you're running out there with five forwards, and I will go on record and say, not my favorite thing in the world.
That's
not
fair.
Not only because I don't think the good outweighs bad, because we saw it when they had a turnover high, they're going a 2-on-1 against Granlund.
Very quickly. Yeah.
Very quickly. And Askarov had to make a big save. Like, you're asking Granlund, who's a very good defensive forward, but that's a lot to ask of a guy who doesn't play defense all the time.
All the time. It's yours telling him, I need you to be perfect in this most critical moment.
And they're not scoring.
Yes.
So if they were scoring goals and then they had that, then that'd be one thing. But the five forward unit isn't. I also, this is a tangent, so I'm going.
Go, please.
They need to play that second unit more.
I know. Dude, they're staying out there the entire time. Like sometimes it won't be till like a minute 45 gone by till you see some fresh legs out there. And I'm thinking, if you're not making it go about a minute 10, then that should be the change. That should be when you're getting new guys out there. Obviously, that's situational. Sometimes you can't make the change. But to me, if you've seen that evidence and you have the opportunity to make the change, like get new legs out there.
If your first unit's not going to get done, start with your second unit and have them go. Because usually that second unit's a little more meat and potatoes.
Right.
It's a little more just get it. There's not as much high-end skill. But on the second unit, I believe today was Zetterlin, Eklund. So Eklund has a lot of that skill. But still, start the second unit.
To that point, I was kind of wondering, why isn't the Lund line together on one of the power play units? Like, that's kind of something that I feel, if you're going to have those guys out there, I would rather make a change from Granlund to put him with the other two Lunds just to keep those three together.
You could do it Lund line, and then you could put Macklin up there with, I would put Wallman. He's not there, but
yes,
another.
Yes, he would be.
Tim.
Tim. No longer Drin. Timothy.
Lil Drin. Lil Drin back there. I think that is a good point, because then you're keeping that chemistry going. We've seen it before in the NHL, where the line just stays out there. I believe Thornton, Marlowe, and Heatley were all on the same power play as well.
And we've seen
back
in Colorado too lately and such. So it's not unheard of. And I understand Warza wants to spread his talent around, but
then on that second unit, you still have Toffoli there, and you'd have Colin Graf out there. You have Will Smith. So you still would have some talent.
Although Smith was playing, like we saw at the end of the last game, he was playing up on that first unit a bit.
Yeah, but if you're doing with the Lund line,
then
you still have talent as well.
Of course.
Like, I don't think it's as much of a, I think actually might be even a little more balanced if you did that in a way.
Kovalenko scores, has a phenomenal, like, we see a lot of these first intermission interviews. I think that may have been the best of the year.
something about these Russian guys.
Dude, we've got the coolest Russians in the league.
Yeah, for sure. Kovalenko was bringing his best line. I'm going to use it now for the rest of my life. I'm going to take it in our shows. If you think too much, you're wrong. Think too much, you're wrong. We might as well get that. We should make shirts. There's shirts we have to make, and we'll maybe one of these episodes we'll talk about all the shirts we have to make. That might be a new shirt we have to make.
No, it's a great line. I also liked how he joked about it. He's like, yeah, I'm not a big guy, but I go out there and try to be physical. He was so loose. Like, that's what I love about this team right now, is that in the midst of losing 8 straight before these last 2 wins, they were still loose. They were not letting it bring them down. And that's kind of to the point of Kovalenko being comical, Askarov being just kind of like a nut in a good way. Like, he's high-fiving Sharky. Yeah. He's, you know, putting his hand up to his ear to hear the crowd. Like, this is what you want with guys, because I feel that, like, if you bring these personalities together, they can grow together, and it almost makes them that much more dangerous together. To Drew's point that he always talks about those Giants teams of what feels like, you know, the last World Series was 10 years ago, and now 11, we're in 2025, I guess. But those guys were, you know, Brian Wilson, Tim Lincecum, those are kind of weird guys. Bumgarner was extremely serious. Yeah. Matt Cain was just, he wanted to be golfing unless he was pitching. You know, Panda was Panda. Yeah. Like those Brandon personalities. Belt. Yeah, Brandon Belt, the captain. Those personalities were allowed to be themselves. Yeah.
And you saw even last game with Vlasic during that intermission hit, as you were talking about, he also had a great interview. And maybe that's Vlasic coming back, and he has kind of a playful personality. Guys really seem to play for him and gravitate towards that. But I think, to your point, is a good one, is successful teams usually let players be who they are. And whether that is a Macklin Celebrini, who is a little more serious and really going to take it serious and wants to win, and that's probably the guy you want leading the pack. That's your, maybe at some point you put a letter on him. Yaroslav Askarov, smiling when they're peppering him with shot after shot after making a big save against these the best guys in the world, best teams. And then, but that's a good balance, right? You can't have everyone in your dressing room be on 100 at all times. Yeah. And Will Smith kind of feels like he's kind of in the middle there. Like, he's a little
and
more
Macklin
lukewarm.
Still has fun. Yeah. He laughs it up with him.
Will Smith, though, also walks into the tunnel and has a viral moment.
Yes.
Like, I don't think Macklin Celebrini's walking in, because that's also what you want from Macklin Celebrini. What makes him so good is that he is super locked in. But he's rock, paper, scissoring too, to your point. Like, he's still having fun, but that's what you want. You want guys to be themselves. You do not want them to be someone else. That's why I don't really like the whole, like, the Yankees thing. They make everyone shave, make everyone go to this cookie cutter thing. I was like, come on, man. This isn't like the 60s or the 70s. You got to let people do it. And on further note, for the NHL, you need guys to do that,
right,
or else you don't have anybody to market.
No, you have great stars in the
AKA
league right
the
now.
MLB.
Yes, Major League. Mike Trout could walk in this room right now and neither of us would know who he was. We'd be like, hey, who's that?
Other than his huge neck.
Yeah, huge neck. Big time neck and the lack of playoff wins. Yeah. But I shouldn't go after him. He's a good player. It's not his fault that he's an angel.
No,
but maybe
it's not
his
fault. He didn't have to resign, though.
Okay, so what's next for San Jose? It's Vegas. They gotta. Are there demons that need to be exercised, or do we also have to take into account that on paper they're not as good as Vegas?
Well, they haven't been as good as the Devils either, or the Jets when they played up to the Jets and they came back late, or against the Capitals. On paper, they're not going to be as good as a lot of teams. No. So you can't walk in, and that's why games aren't played on paper, Ted. Did you know that?
I do know that. Does Askarov go?
Three in a row.
He's got
3 in a row, 2 days off.
Yeah, plus an early game. So he's got a long Saturday recoup, Monday, Sunday.
I would let him go. I would let him go out there, because we've seen against the best teams, that's when he's raised his game. Also, I think Georgiev could use a little pause. And we saw him, he was the only goalie, I believe, on the ice. I saw a report out there for New Year's Day, and he was working with Thomas Spears. Oh, lights are out.
My light went out, ran out of battery. Sorry.
I was doing motion, I was hoping. But I think he's a guy who's trying to figure out his game a little bit and give him some time to work on it. And I mean, he's given up 3 goals in 2 games. Got to get him out there.
Yeah.
If he's going to be your bona fide number one, and he's a guy that you're going to lean on for maybe 50 games, 60 games in the future, let him go. It's not, and it's also not like it's his first professional season either. You know what I mean?
No, he understands what he's up against. Well, all right, Alan, 2 wins in a row, and the Sharks get a couple of days off. Not off. They'll practice Monday. Are you going to be there on Monday?
Probably not. I wish.
I will be there.
Monday's a big dad day for me.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Monday's a big dad day for me.
Yeah, but I will be there. I'll get some. Anybody you want me to talk to?
Yeah, Graf would be good.
Yeah, Graf would be good.
Would be good. Yeah. Let's listen for Graf. Yeah.
I'll text you. I'll be like, all right, I need to get some questions from Alan. That's so right. We can talk about the NCAA line. All right, man. Appreciate your time as always. And keep up the great work.
Here we go.
Again, that is Alan Hoshida, the host of Sharks Pre and Post Game Live on NBC Sports California, joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. We are just about out of time. On Monday, I'm going to be going to Sharks practice, barring anything unexpectedly coming up. But I am looking forward to getting some more insights on what has gone right over the last couple of games. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.